TV.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you do know. I don't think you know, so I'm going to tell you. Friday was one of those days. Last Friday, the show was one of those days where I was not feeling inspired at all. And just, of course, turned on the camera and the microphone anyway. And I knew one thing that I wanted to teach on the death of Christ for our sin, and specifically on how Christ became sin, not a sin offering. Offering is in light face type. Even in the King James Version, Christ became sin itself. How in the world did that take away sin? And I wanted to talk about that, and I did. And as what usually happens, once I commit and turn on the camera and the microphone, something happens. That something being the Spirit of God takes over, and the message, by the grace of God, came through beautifully, loud and clear. And your reactions, your comments to Friday's show were so encouraging to me. And I am just happy to have honored Christ. For the background on Friday, I had the Shroud of Turin laid horizontally so that we could picture Christ destroyed on the tomb, on the slab in the tomb, destroyed by sin, destroyed by something you and I will never have to bear, and that is the fullness, the effect, full effect of sin. And because Satan unloaded everything he had, since Satan unleashed the fullness of the effects of sin on Christ while he was alive, you and I never have to face that. And we never will. We can't. We only now taste sin in minute portions compared to Christ, who was without sin. Totally unfair that this should happen to him, of course, because he had no sin. Sinless himself, and yet voluntarily came here to take the full effects of sin. And I don't think, there's no way he knew the extent of what he was going to feel. There's just no way. Nobody could know. It was an utter shock to him, which is why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because sin was eating him alive. It's exactly what it did. And to see his body lying inert on the slab in the tomb, admittedly, just before the power of God surged through his dead body to resurrect him, is to come face to face with his sacrifice, which no ordinary man could have borne, what he did for our sakes. And it's that truth for which we are ambassadors. It is the truth of what that sacrifice purchased. We say it purchased our salvation, but that's rather vague. We don't need to be vague when we read, yet all is of God who conciliates us to himself. That is what salvation is. Bringing peace to us. Peace about what? Concerning death. Delivered us from the fear of death and from the horror of sin, of missing the mark. That's what he did for us. And then we find out he did it for the world as well. The difference between us and the world is that we are now made aware of it by means of the Spirit of God making its home in us, by means of the faith that comes via the Spirit of God making its home in us. God grants to each the measure of faith to understand this truth of what Christ endured. For the one not knowing sin, verse 21, he makes to be sin for our sakes, that we may be becoming God's righteousness in him. The only way we could become God's righteousness in him. And the death was so terrible. The suffering leading up to the death was so terrible that it not only destroyed Christ, but it destroyed the old humanity. Romans 6:6, our old humanity was crucified with him. That's how God's righteousness can now be said to be upon us. We are now reckoned to be righteous, soon to be constituted thus. And we have been given this word of the conciliation. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors. And again, I said this over and over again last week. I'm going to read the definition one more time before I get to the verses, but I said I had more verses to give you, and I actually meant to give them to you Friday. I meant to talk about the one other place where this word ambassador is used in the Greek scriptures. I fully intended to do that. But when I read verse 21 while I was preparing for Friday's show, I read the one not knowing sin he makes to be sin for our sakes. I immediately had to talk about that. I was so overwhelmed by the need to talk about that, even though I was underwhelmed as far as my mood went, as far as my desire went. I did it anyway, but it was so on the front of my mind that I forgot to do what I said I was going to do the day before. So today, I'm going to do it. If I get through it. If I get to it. But that word ambassador, I remind you, the Greek word presbyu, the English elements are be senior. Ambassadorship is for mature saints who, even though they may be young in age, are yet senior in maturity. And this ambassadorship that we have, that so few are given, so few have. I want to read the definition again, even though I read it so many times last week. An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic official who represents their home country and government in a foreign nation or at an international organization. Incredible. You have to be thinking celestial world here, because that's the world being spoken of. We are the highest ranking diplomatic officials who represent that world, not this one. In this world, we are counted as nothing. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. That's the world's opinion of us. It's not God's. God's opinion of us is we are the highest ranking diplomatic officials sent by him to herald this truth, that God is now at peace with the world via Christ being made sin. Said as simply as possible, God's at peace with you. No matter what you do, no matter what you think, no matter what you say, and it does not depend on you believing it. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be anything. You don't even have to believe anything. I'm just telling you, this is how you deliver this word, being an ambassador, assuming, well, Paul says you are one, but assuming you take the mantle of that ambassadorship and put it into practice. The way you say it is simply, God is at peace with you, period. But yeah, you really do have to add, apart from anything you do, apart from you being a sinner, apart from you repenting of your sin, apart from you attending church, apart from you loving God back, apart from you believing in him, apart from you having faith, apart from any human activity, you must add that, because that provides the shock value. That in one saying in one sentence provides the exposure, the rebuke, and the entreaty. You're exposing the whole religious system by saying apart from works, apart from church attendance, apart from repentance, apart from belief. My God, you're exposing the whole church system, and you're rebuking anyone in that church system who insists on every one of those things. That's your ambassadorship. You are the highest ranking diplomatic official of God's, I almost said army. I was going to say army. I'm thinking about saying army. I don't really want to say army because it sounds so Christian-y. I won't say army because it's not the right term. Of God's people. We are a gentle army if we're an army at all. We're not flashy. We're not. The type to stand on soapboxes and yell at people, scream at people, cold call people. But when we're tapped, when we're asked, we need to know that we're ambassadors. We need to know of how God thinks of us. God thinks of us as the highest ranking diplomatic officials who represent our home country. This is not our home country. Our realm is inherited in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a savior also, who will transform these bodies of humiliation into bodies like his body of glory. We are representing him who is invisible, and Christ, his son, who has not been seen in 2,000 years. Not been seen. We're the visible, not manifestation of Christ. We are not the visible manifestation of Christ, but we are the visible, audible representatives of Christ. And the message of what Christ did. Here I go. Not going to get to the thing I want to get to. In 1 Timothy 4:9, I brought up this verse, and I want to bring it up again because I didn't ring it all out for you. I love this young man, Timothy, because he's the one to whom Paul passed the baton, and we have this word because of Timothy. I'm here because of Timothy. I believe we have Paul's letters collected because of Timothy. He's the one Paul passed the baton to. And that baton has moved. You ever been in a relay race? When I was a junior in high school, our track team, but I was never on the track team because I wasn't a team guy. I was an individual athlete. But they drafted me to be on this 24-hour relay team. A bunch of high schools all across the United States competed. The idea was you get 10 runners and a baton and a track. And you run around the track for 24 hours. Each runner running a mile around the track. Four laps of a 440-yard track. And the baton keeps moving. The baton never stops. That's the thing. The baton never stops for 24 hours. And you hand it to the next guy. Then you sit down, get a drink of water, take a nap. This goes on through the night. You crawl into your sleeping bag after it's your turn. And then somebody nudges you awake and says, "Hey, the runner's on the last lap. Get up, get up." And you groggily go to the line, grab that baton, and you do your mile. And of course, as the competition, it's not a competition, it's a team effort, but as the event wears on, people drop out. So you go from 10 runners to 6 runners, because there are the show-off types who at the beginning of the race start, at the beginning of the event, they run fast to impress their girlfriends. They're doing 6-minute miles. They're not thinking of endurance. They're not thinking of you got to do this for 24 hours. So those are the guys that burn out quick. And then guys like me, the tortoises, are left to gut it out at the end. But the point is, the baton keeps moving. The baton of this evangel, the baton of this truth of the conciliation of the world has never stopped. Paul gave it to Timothy. Timothy gave it to somebody. Somebody gave it to somebody. It has never stopped. It's a tortoise competition. It doesn't go fast. It doesn't go flashily. Nobody's impressing anybody's girlfriend here. But it goes, and it keeps going, And God has made sure that down through the last 2,000 years, there have been ambassadors who keep this message moving. And Timothy was the one who got the baton from Paul. 1 Timothy 4, verse 9. Faithful is the saying, worthy of all welcome. For this we are toiling and being reproached, that we rely on the living God, who is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. These things be charging and teaching. Let no one be despising your youth. I bring up this verse because the English elements of the word ambassador are be senior, be senior. Senior, generally speaking, of an elder. But in this case, a mature one. Be that. I exhort anyone who hears this call to be that. Paul is exhorting Timothy, let no one be despising your youth, but become a model for the believers in word, in behavior, in love, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give heed to reading, to entreaty, to teaching. Verse 14, neglect not the gracious gift which is in you. I talked about how neglect suggests that it's possible to neglect it. Paul's encouraging Timothy not to. Neglect not the gracious gift which is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the imposition of the hands of the eldership. This was back in the day. The eldership is not a workable, viable, official capacity today in the body of Christ. There are teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Don't get nervous about pastors. They don't go to school. They don't have diplomas. They're simply those who care for the needs of other people. They have a disposition to care for people's well-being. As opposed to teachers who don't give a damn about anybody, they just teach the word of God. Not serious about that, but relative to teaching, they are pretty much one-tracked. It's rare to find a teacher and a pastor these days, I think it is, in the same person. But you can find a teacher and an evangelist, I believe, in the same person. I'm a teacher and an evangelist, not much of a pastor, but I find myself in that position. That position has been, well, I just find myself in that position. Verse 15, of these things meditate, in these be, that your progress may be apparent to all. Your progress may be apparent. Don't let anyone criticize you for wanting to become a parent. Wild Boar criticizes me all the time. He thinks I want to be a showman. He thinks I want to be famous. He thinks quit putting your face on your books. Wild Boar has criticized me that my face is on my book. My picture's on my book. Okay, Wild Boar, send me your picture. I'll put your picture on my book if that's what you want. Whose picture should I put on my book? I don't know. I wrote the book. I thought it was appropriate. That your progress may be apparent. And I'm reminding you of everybody, not just Wild Boar, but I'm reminding everyone of why there must be sectarian teachings. There must be sects among you. I'll put the verse down here, that those who are qualified may be becoming a parent. I like becoming a parent because Paul's calling upon Timothy to let your progress in the evangel, in what? In reading, entreaty, and teaching. Let your progress, not only that, but your behavior, your love, your faith, your purity. Let it become apparent. Why go creeping around trying to hide yourself with this pseudo-humility? Just stand up and say, yes, this is what I am. This is what I do. It's me. I wrote the book, Martin Sender. There's my picture. The only people who have a problem with it, again, are those who are projecting their insecurities upon me. Anyway, let's go on from that. Verse 16, attend to yourself and to the teaching. Be persisting in them. This is the endurance. For in doing this, you will save yourself as well as those hearing you. What? Save yourself? I'm saving myself by persisting in the teaching? Yep, that's what Paul says. Just reading the word of God here. Don't shoot the messenger. Attend to yourself. I'm in verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Attend to yourself and to the teaching. Do your business. Do your job. be persisting in them, for in doing this you will save yourself as well as those hearing you. The salvation here is relative. Obviously, but no, it's not obvious, because I know that even though I'm reading the Word of God, there are a couple people, wild boar among them. I don't know why. Yeah, well, he said he's not going to watch this show anymore, but he's watching. You save yourself relatively. We don't save ourselves from sin and death. Obviously, Jesus Christ did that. Do I have to say that? Yes, I do, because I will be accused. A couple people come to mind of saying that Martin Zender said he saves himself. I just know I will be, because it's just the nature of the eon. In doing this, you will save yourself. In what sense does Timothy save himself? He saves himself from backsliding, saves himself from failing to endure, from failing to persist. Failing to, what does Paul tell him to do? To not slip up? To keep going? Can't think of the word there. Neglect not. There it is. Neglect not. You're saving yourself from neglecting these things by being involved in them, by doing them. My favorite teacher is me. I watch my old videos to get encouragement. I save myself. This teaching, my own teaching saves me from from wanting to quit, from neglecting the gracious gift which is in me via the imposition of the Spirit of God, and from your encouragement. I read your comments, because they're so important to me. Sometimes when people compliment me, they preface it with, "I don't want you to get a big head, Martin." My response is, just try. Please, try to give me a big head. Try, would you? Because if I ever get a big head, it lasts for about 10 seconds, if that. God has many creative ways of deflating me and you. No matter how good you might feel, it lasts about 10 seconds. I'm not even joking. It's impossible for me to get a big head. It's impossible. Try. I tell people, give it a shot, will you? Go to the thesaurus. Put up the word wonderful, or put in the word wonderful in the thesaurus. Go to thesaurus.com. Put in helpful. Put in valuable. And then look at all the synonyms and tell me all these things. Tell me what this work does for you. I need it. It saves me. Paul says, in doing this, you save yourself as well as those hearing you. So I'm saving you from what? From despair? What? How am I saving you? From sin and death. Now, Martin Zender says he's saving people. Martin thinks he's Jesus. Martin has a Christ complex. Okay. Not going to be able to stop it, so you two or three people who like to do these things, and I know who you are, you're going to do it. Tell me how proud I've become. Tell me how arrogant I am. Tell me how I think I'm Jesus. I'm going to keep doing what I do. Because I'm a believer in the inspiration of Paul, who wrote this to Timothy. Be persisting in them. What? Reading, entreaty, teaching, love, faith, purity. That your progress may be apparent. If you want to call that being famous, whatever. I call it what Paul calls it, becoming apparent. Seen. It's seen. I'm a seen individual. That's God's choice for my life, not mine. Attend to yourself in the teaching. Be persisting in them. Attend to yourself. Take care of yourself. Value yourself. Listen to yourself. I listen to myself. I like to listen to myself. I used to hate my voice. Now I love it. I know some of you don't like, and some of you, one person told me they didn't like the AI on Sundays that Rodney puts together. He's taking my writing from the Roman series and he's putting an AI voice to it. I understand. I tend to hate AI also. I understand. AI is the devil. I get it. Okay. But when I hear this AI dude reading my writing, I love it. I love it. I love getting these videos from Rodney on Saturday morning because I minister to myself. I hear this English guy, quote unquote, this nice, seems like a nice guy, this fake AI guy, reading my writing, and I sit back and my spirit is massaged by my own words. I wrote them so long ago, 13 years ago, or 10, 13 years ago. It really ministers to me. Attend to yourself and to the teaching. Why? Because you'll save yourself. Thank you, Rodney Paris. Your work saves me, too. And it saves the people who are hearing it. Saves them from what? I'll say it again. From despair, from loneliness, from despondency, from depression, from anxiety, from forgetting about this, from forgetting who God says we are. We need to hear this again and again and again because we're human. The baton moves. And it's been moving for 2,000 years, and I'm not going to be the one to drop it, let me tell you. And you know, we're on the last lap. You think I'm going to drop the baton on the last lap? This is the bell. They call it the bell lap. I'll say no more about it because I've already talked about myself enough and wild boar is going to get nervous. Now, finally now, with 3 minutes left to the show, I'm going to go to the one other time that the word ambassador is used, only it's used in as embassy. It's the same root word, though. I probably will just read it and get to the details tomorrow. Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. Yeah, you know I'm not going to get through this. I'm just going to read it and go through the details tomorrow. Ephesians 6, 18. Oh, my God, yeah. Because I'm going to get the perimeter here, too. Ephesians, these are the last few verses of Ephesians. I'm going to read it, and tomorrow I'm going to flesh it out. Don't know what I'm going to say yet. That's the beauty of it. I'm excited. It's like I'm watching the show now, like live. I'm actually watching the show live with you because I don't know what's going to happen next. So I'm just excited as you are to see what's going to happen next. This is great. No wonder you like this show. I like this show. If I don't like it, how are you going to like it? If I don't love what I do, how are you going to love it? If I don't weep tears of appreciation for our Savior, how will you weep tears of appreciation for our Savior as you did on Friday if I don't? If it's not real to me, if I don't have a passion or love for it, then what am I doing here? You're not going to listen or watch or do anything. So thank you, God and Christ. During every prayer and petition, be praying on every occasion, in spirit, being vigilant also for it, with all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints, and for me. Oh, this Paul is a selfish guy. Talks about himself an awful lot. Now he's praying that everybody pray for him. But no, he's saying concerning all the saints. He says that first, then he says, and for me, that to me expression may be granted in the opening of my mouth with boldness. I want you to pray this for me as well, okay? Pray this for me. I'll expand on this tomorrow. To make known the secret of the evangel. I'll tell you what that is tomorrow. For those of you who don't know, for which I'm conducting an embassy in a chain. Just embassy in a chain. What a title for a movie, for a book, for a song, embassy in a chain. Wow. Patented, copyrighted by the Apostle Paul. But since it's been around for 2,000 years, I believe it's in the public domain. By this time, anybody can use this. Embassy in a chain. My God. That in it, I should be speaking boldly as I must speak. I got to stop there. I'm looking at my time. Don't want to lose the audio. My audio program tends to freak out if I go over 31 minutes. Let's stop there. I'm going to start here tomorrow. And I can't wait to do it.